So last week, guys, we talked about, let me get my iPad here. But let me just talk about what we're going to talk about today, because I forgot what we talked about last week. No, I'm just kidding. We actually talked about watch out on the way out. All right. Today, guys, we're going to talk about don't bend in the end, or don't bend in the trend, or don't bend at the end, or don't bend in the trend. Trend. Everybody say trends. Everybody say end. Of course, you know, you guys, you know, I'm ADD, anointed, dangerous, and disciplined. But do you guys see the word end in trend? Yes. Young people are already in it today. They say, yes, I see it. And you're taking notes. I really want to throw $20 up there in the balcony because I wish I could see this picture. She got a pen and paper out ready to take notes. I'm telling you, we're going to be in good hands. Young people, everybody, Alpheus, young and younger, don't bend in the end. Amen. Our anchor scripture is Matthew 24. And last week we lifted this up. The disciple says, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? The disciples asked Jesus a question. Basically, what are the signs? Jesus, tell me the signs that's going to happen. What's going to happen at the end of the world? And guys, this is the new spelling word we learned last week, and it's eschatology. Everybody say eschatology. Everybody say eschatology. The eschatology talk is basically talking about the last things, the end. Eschatology comes from a Greek word, eschatos. Everybody say eschatos. Eschatos meaning last things, ology meaning study of the last things. So this question that the disciples asked was right after Matthew 23. And in Matthew 23, Jesus was warnings, be aware, take notice, watch out. Everybody say, watch out. And so I am curious. The disciples is curious. They are thinking about, not about the past, but about the future. They are fast forwarding so much into the future. They are fast forwarding to the end of the world. Instead of enjoying life right now, they're thinking about death. What's going to happen when I die? Life is short. Everybody say life is short. And when we think about the end of the earth or the end of the age, it is eschatology talk. It's eschatological talk. The new heaven and earth will come. The new heaven and the new earth will come when the current earth ends. That's eschatology talk. Our eternal state with God happens when the first death happens. The Bible says, it's appointed one time for man to do what? To die. That after that first death, we have an eternal state. Have you guys thought about where are you going to spend eternity? Your celebration of life, and it's interesting that I accidentally brought this obituary or this celebration of life. I went to a funeral this week. But your celebration of life is really the beginning of new life. Amen. Number three, Jesus' second coming or this is kind of a review from last week, as you noticed, guys. So I got some new content today. But Jesus' parousia or his second coming. Everybody say parousia. His second coming is the period to this age. So in other words, when Jesus comes, you know that the earth is ended, has officially ended. The last chapter is over. The movie is over. When Jesus comes, it's over. Eschatology. The calamity and the other catastrophe events are birth pains. that's basically letting you know that the end is soon to come. Birth pains. I have a new nephew in love, right? And my brother-in-love, his wife, they knew that B3 is his name. B3, like the organ up there. His name is B3. He's Billy Jackson III. And he was born last week. And so my brother-in-love's wife, they knew around the time they should get ready for B3, baby B3, but they could not necessarily predict the exact time. But they knew that he was coming soon because of the birth pains. Amen. There were signs that B3 was coming. And unexpectedly, B3 is here at a different time that they planned. Amen. So Jesus is soon to come, but we don't know when, but he is soon to come. Amen. He is soon to come. We don't know when, but he is coming because there are birth pains. There are signs everywhere. So Jesus actually doesn't answer the disciples' question right away. Jesus, what's going to happen? How you going to tear this world up? How you going to tear it up? Jesus did not answer their question right away. He was actually more concerned about their souls. The disciples were concerned about the signs, and Jesus was concerned about the soul. They was concerned about the last, and Jesus was busy putting people on blast. He addressed deception. In Matthew 23 before Matthew 24, Jesus spends a lot of time revealing and exposing and warning us about deception. Everybody say deception. He said, before I talk about the damages, I'm going to talk about deception. Everybody say deception before damages, because damages will hurt your body, but deception will hurt your soul. Damages can do no eternal harm to your soul when you are in Christ. Amen. Don't worry about wars. Worry about deception. Amen. Amen. Don't worry about the signs. Let's worry about our soul. Amen. Why do I say this? Because contrary to evolutionists and materialists and evolutionists. Everybody say materialists, evolutionists. They say that at the end, everybody say at the end, when we die, we go nowhere. Evolutionists and materialists say at the end, it's just the end. Nothing happens. After we leave this hotel called Earth, there is no eternity. That's what they believe, materialists and evolutionists. So Jesus is saying, bro, I am warning you about deception, because embracing the wrong thought will be detrimental to your soul. Amen. If a doctor is not well equipped, the worst thing that can happen is what? You die. If the preacher or the teacher that you yield to, or the message you yield to, you embrace, if it is wrong, and if it's off, if it's an error, it has more implications or worse implications than that last example. Amen. So Matthew 24, Jesus answered. He said, watch out. Everybody say, watch out. I'm almost finished with the review. He said, watch out. In Matthew 24 and in Matthew 7. Everybody say Matthew 7, which we'll read in a second, guys. Both of those passages start with watch out. Everybody say, watch out. But these two passages are loaded with judging terms. All right? This is what I want to park just a few minutes today. They are loaded with judging terms. In Matthew 24, here in Matthew 24, Jesus warns the disciples about being what? He says, watch out, because I don't want you to be what? I don't want you to be deceived, but there's no deception without a deceiver. You need a deceiver to be deceived.
And the deceiver is being painted in a negative light. Judging terms. The deceiver is being painted in a, being described negatively. In Matthew 7, it also says, watch out. Jesus seems like he's really concerned about our souls. And he is warning us. He is saying, watch out for who? False prophets. Individuals that are saying false things. He is not addressing the disciples' questions about earthquakes, about wars first. He is first addressing deception. He says, because the prophets, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are not just wolves. They are ferocious wolves. Everybody say ferocious. Not just, I don't want to meet a ferocious wolf in human form or in animal form. Amen. I don't want to meet anything ferocious. Unless it's a ferocious burger right now. I've been no carbing this week. If that burger's ferocious, I'll take it right now. No carbs. Y'all pray for me this morning. I don't know what I may say. I'm just kidding. I guess no carbs feels like a fast. So I probably can lay hands on you today and you will be healed because of no carbs. No carbs equals healing. All right, don't. Yes. Well, I guess it's already streaming, so we won't. So you can identify, everybody, check this out. Judging terms in Matthew 7. Judging terms. Everybody say judging terms. You can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. Everybody say bad tree. Everybody say bad tree. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will what? Recognize them. Everybody say judging terms. It's interesting that it's screaming out to us the judging terms in these two passages, in our anchor scripture, Matthew 24, and then this passage that I'm lifting that also says, watch out, in Matthew 7. Judging comes from a Greek word, write this down, called krino. All right, that's the best way to say it, all right? Krino. It's a Greek word that means to judge. So let's extract some judging terms from Matthew 7, 15 through 20, all right? So Alphys, why are you associating this with judging? Because judging, again, comes from krino. It comes from krino, which means, number one, write this down, to decide or consider. Krino, judging. To decide or consider. We make choices every day. You're judging. May I submit to us, we're judging. Amen? Number two, krino, judging. Greek word krino, judging. To categorize. Number three, preferring one thing over another. When you prefer something, you're judging over another. You're judging. Number four, determining the correctness of a matter. Everybody say krino. Judging. Number five, condemn in a legal sense. Who has the authority to decide? Or what authority are we making a judgment call under? That makes sense? Number six, judging, krino, Greek word krino, to judge, to separate. Everybody say separate. Everybody say separate. Me, young people in the house, y'all just get your hands up like this and just do this. Separate. You have your right, you have your left. Which one are you going to decide? Which hand are you going to look at? Whichever hand you look at, that's your decision. Krino, judge. Meaning you have made a decision, you just judged. Amen. Number seven, to make a distinction between. So watch out. In Matthew 7, you see watch out. You see this in the passage? You see, watch out. You see, these are judging terms, making a difference, preferring one thing over another, determining the correctness of a matter. The moment you say something is right or good, you're judging. The moment you look at something and say, not for me, you are doing what? The moment you look at you say no to that guy to say, will you go with me? You say, nah. You just made a decision. You're judging. Amen. The moment you go into the Louis Vuitton store and say, not this pocketbook that didn't get picked is saying, why did you judge me? And you picked that pocketbook. And you tell that pocketbook because she costs less. Amen. Yeah, I don't have to say amen to that. Watch out. Everybody say, watch out. Judging terms, Jesus is saying, watch out. Judging terms in Matthew 24, judging terms in Matthew 7. It is interesting in Matthew 7, this actually comes after the famous judging scripture. The famous judging scripture, which is, do not judge. Now, first of all, this is getting confusing because it sounds like, according to the definition from Crino, everybody say Crino, that judging is simply just making a decision. You can have an opinion, you can have an observation, you can review, of course, there's going to be a decision. But now, is Jesus telling me not to judge? Is this passage telling me not to judge? Let's read it together. Ready, set, go. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Listen, first of all, people love to say this and quote this passage to get them off the hook. Amen? Let's keep reading. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your, in your own eye? You hypocrite. Judging? That's judging right there. You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye. That's judging right there. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Judging. Do not give dogs what is sacred. What in the judging? Because for me to withhold something from you is saying you don't deserve what you think you deserve or what is sacred. Let me stick to the text. Do not give dogs. You calling me a dog? Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. Now you calling me a pig. Am I a pig and a dog? If you do, they will trample them under their feet, because that's what dogs do. That's what pigs do. Amen. They are not about fine dining. Pigs are not about fine dining. Amen. Somebody ever call you a pig? That's fighting words. Somebody ever call you a dog? That's fighting words. Amen. Right? If you look, what movie is that? You low down, dirty what? And what happened after that? Probably some gun shooting, some kicking, some fighting, or holding somebody back. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. That sounds like a ferocious what? Wolf. Protocol. Guys, there's a protocol to judging. There's a protocol. Everybody say protocol. Everybody say protocol. There is a protocol. There's a system. There's a format. There's a blueprint to judging. First, judge yourself. Matthew 7 is not about, it's not telling us not to judge. It's telling us how to judge. It's not telling us not to judge. It's telling us how to judge. Everybody say how to judge. Everybody say judge yourself first. Just look at us. Look at your own heart. Judge yourself first. I used to say this a lot. I haven't said it this year. I used to say a lot, I hate sin in you. And I think I would start it like this first. Then I would say, I hate sin in me. I hate sin wherever it shows up. If it shows up in my daddy, I hate sin. If it shows up in me, I hate sin. Notice I said I hate what? Did I say I hate my daddy? Did I say I hate my sister? I said I hate what? Judge yourself first. There's a judging protocol. John 8:14 says, Jesus answered, but you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. Everybody say, I'm not alone. Everybody said, I'm not alone. I stand with my Father who sent me. In your own law, isn't it written? It is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Guys, you know Jesus was on earth feeling like he was by himself. Have you ever went to tell somebody the truth and everybody else around you actually sided with the person that clearly needed to hear the truth and you felt like you were by yourself? Imagine Jesus on earth being the only person on earth that would not sin. Who is going to bear witness with him? Who can he link up with so he doesn't feel like he's alone? I mean, it's like Jesus is saying, as God is my witness. Everybody say, as God is my witness. It's almost like he's saying that. Maybe that's where it came from. Maybe not. But we say, why do we say that? We say that as God is my witness because nobody else believe you. And usually liars say that, judging. Liars say, no, as God is my witness. God said, I ain't your witness. You know good and well. You know good and well. As God, but Jesus is saying, I stand with my Father who sent me. Everybody say, God sent me. So this is, again, protocol number one, judge yourself. Protocol number two, everybody say, judge correctly. That's objective judging. Write this down. Objective judging. Objective judging. That is a part of the protocol for judging. Objective judging. Jesus even said the standard by which he is judging is from who? God the Father. Jesus himself said, listen, bro, don't take it out on me. I can stand on my own two feet, but I'm telling you, I have a witness. As God is my witness. He says, I stand with God the Father. So let's use this as an example when we do the same thing. In 2024, we got to get this protocol for judging right. Even when you get it, even if you do what I suggest, it's still going to be some repercussions. Amen? Look at Jesus. Amen? For an example, by saying this, it is not my opinion. Everybody say, let's practice. It's not my opinion. You can say this as calm as you can. You can almost go to sleep saying this. It's not my opinion. In other words, when you drop the truth on somebody and they go crazy, rest that is not your opinion. Amen? Don't fear. It's not my opinion, but the heart of God. Judging correctly is not subjective, it's objective. Subjective means human standards. It changes. It changes. So we have to have an objective standard, because if we are judging subjectively, things are going to always change. Laws are going to always do what? And laws do change because what? Subjective judging. Laws may change. Heaven and earth may pass away, but what will remain the same? God's word. This is objective. Amen. Why do you think this is under attack? Not burning physical Bibles. They're trying to get us to burn the Word of God. They're trying to get us to eradicate the Word of God in our heart by feeding us deception. That's a slick way to burn the Bible, is to feed us deception. Amen? And then the Bible is no longer in the Word of God is no longer in our hearts. Does that make sense? Why are veteran Christians going crazy right now? Deception. Amen? Why are veteran, it's quiet in here. Why are veteran Christians going crazy right now? Deception. There's a judging protocol. 1 Corinthians 5:12 says, what business is it of mine to judge those outside of the what? The church. Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from where? From the inside. From the inside. So you mean to tell me we are Christians, we are believers, and there's wickedness in the camp? Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 4 says, I care very little if I am judged subjectively by any human court. This is Paul. This is 1 Corinthians 4, from Jesus to Paul. All right. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. So that's why we can't read the Word of God. We can't take one scripture and just read that and come up with this entire theology. Because if you keep reading, it's just you see that there's this obvious protocol to judging. If you take just one section, you say, oh, no, don't judge. Don't judge yourself. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, see what I'm... You just take it to fit your lifestyle. Judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the what? Of the heart. All right, if you can't see it. He will expose the motives of the heart. Everybody say protocol to judging. The next protocol is we judge habits, not the heart. Everybody say, judge actions, not the heart. I cannot know what's in your heart. I don't know what's in your heart. I can see your actions. Amen. I can see that you've been to the barbershop. Amen. I can see that you've been to Macy's. Amen. But I can't see your heart. I can't see that you're looking at me and say, he's the most handsome man in the world. I know y'all not saying that, but the woman on the left in the balcony, she's saying that. I don't know your heart, but I know that's on her heart. I can see what you look like, but I can see your actions, but I don't know your heart. Judging the habits, though, everybody say, judge the habits, will reveal and confront the heart. If I judge your habits, your heart will be confronted or revealed. So it's a protocol to judging. I'm judging your habits. Your habits. Amen. Sir, nephew, uncle, granddaddy, 19 beers before noon is too many beers. Amen. But granddaddy, uncle, nephew, whoever, niece, cousin, but I know you actually love me. I know you have a good heart. But your actions say something contrary to who God made you to be. Amen. I'm judging your actions, not your heart. Amen. But the Bible also says out of the abundance of the heart, the habits, the actions, the mouth speak. You judge the actions, the heart will be confronted. Are y'all seeing that? We're getting this. Let's not be scared of judging the actions. Just making a judgment call. It's difference. It's
Judging with correctness.
What's correct? What's not correct? What do we get that from? What do we get correct from?
It's not my opinion. Nephew, uncle, granddaddy, that's just an example. I'm not saying if you're watching, I'm not judging you. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, we're judging the actions, not the heart. Don't let the fear of being misinterpreted, of condemning, cause you to stop speaking truth and making judgment calls based on the holy word and God's standard. Everybody said, don't be scared. Judging also comes from a Greek word called crises or krisis, crisis. It looks like crisis, krisis. And that can be found in John 16 and 11, which means judgment. Everybody say judgment. It can actually be positive. I'm about to start judging some folks in the room. Young lady right here in the back. Sounds like I'm prophesying, but this is what I see. That is a lovely ensemble. It feels like springtime. That is a nice top. I guess it's a top that you have on. Everybody take note. If you agree that that's a nice, colorful ensemble top right here, y'all clap your hands. All judging is not negative. Crises, crinos, crino. Crises, making difference is a decision. It's a decision. It is making. It's difference. It is separating, isolating, observing. Did you like the way I judged you just then? Clap your hands if you love the way I. We want to be judged that way, don't we? We want to be. You look good to be 50. I know today is your birthday. You look good to be 50, but I know you're much older than 50. He loved that judging so much. He's laughing. He's smiling. He's visibly appreciating the way I'm doing what? Judging him. Many of us, we only have an issue with judging when it confronts our sin. But there, all judging is not negative. There's an outcome from the act of judging that can actually work in your favor. Those of us in Christ, we're not in front of God fearful, because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. To live is what? To die, to what? To die, to what? What's the next? Y'all say it with me. Say it loud, sweets. To die is gain. If you die in Christ, when you meet God the Father, you say, judge me, because I'm in Christ. Everybody say it with me. Say, judge me. I'm in Christ. So when people say, only God can judge me, man, you don't know what you're saying. Those of us in Christ, we can say it with confidence and say, only God can judge me. Amen. Because he knows my heart. Amen. If you believe in your what? Heart. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. God knows my heart. Let's got to wrap this up. Amen. Everybody took me out of here laughing. That almost gave me a cramp in my side. We judge the habits, but we don't judge the heart. Listen to me. You got to have young people in your church. Amen. You just got to have them. It's life. We need some more babies crying in this church. It doesn't bother me. It may bother Josh. It doesn't bother me. That sounds like music to my ears. Everybody say, more babies are coming in this church from parents that are married. Y'all see the judging there? We can't not judge. We can't not judge. Should I start a new business? I have a couple of businesses. And praise God, entrepreneur, family, and it's passed down. Never worked in corporate America since 2005. And he sustained us. I can take care of my wife. Amen. But should I start a new business with her? I need quick answers, or we're going to be here till about 12:50. Should I start a new business with her on the left, on the screen? Should I start a new business with her? Yes or no? Somebody say yes. Let me give you context. That nose is longer than my nose because that nose looks like Pinocchio nose. So should I start a business with her? Somebody should still say yes, give her a chance. Somebody said, why did your yes go to a no? That's what you, because you're making a judgment call based on facts. You have an opinion based on facts. Now you know more facts. You're saying, I should not start a business with her because why? What's wrong with her? Not the nose, but what's behind the nose? Lies. Maybe I'm too old, you know, Pinocchio. We know the story. Maybe the young people don't know the real Pinocchio story. So you're telling me in this room I should not start a business with her because she is a liar. You're giving me advice. Your advice is judging. Should my daughter date him? The young people even can tell you, no, bro. Why should my daughter? So you're telling me I need to tell Taquisha, don't date him. Why are you telling me to tell Taquisha, my daughter, not to date him? They're raising their hands, y'all. I can't ignore it. You said it's Youth Sunday. I forgot it was Youth Sunday, so let me flip. Why should my daughter not date him? Say it loud. Good God Almighty. Y'all clap your hands. Even a 10-year-old knows what's right and what's wrong. He looks to be, did she say he looks like, she's judging his what? His actions. She didn't say anything about his heart. When we train the young people to judge the actions, amen, I'm telling, the heart will be confronted. Now, I'm in my car, it's a red light, should I go? Yes or no? Now the red light is saying, the red in the red light is saying, why are you judging me? Why are you looking at me and making and pondering whether you should go or not? We can't not judge. We can't not judge. When you look back at the slides on the website, just look at the definition from Crino and Crises or Crises. We actually need to judge more and be bold about it. So everybody say both and. Luke 17 says, this is the last of the rumor series. All right, this is the last. So give me about 3 more minutes. Is that okay? And this will wrap up the series. Are y'all okay today? All right. Luke 17:3 says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. Everybody say rebuke him. Judging terms, and if he repents, if he may not, forgive him if he sins again, which is likely to happen, sins against you 7 times in a day, what should we do? Forgive him again and rebuke him again. Amen? Rebuke him again, forgive him again. Judge him again, love him again. Judge him again, love him again. Say it with me. Judge him again, love him again. For me to come to you and say, listen, bro, you have wronged me, is judging. It's needed. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving. I just said it. Love and rebuke. Keep loving one another earnestly. Since love. Who's love? God is love. His word is love. Jesus is love. Keep loving one another by telling them the truth. Because it's the truth that covers a multitude of sins. Not a box of chocolate. This is not talking about a box of chocolate. This is not talking about roses. This is not talking about flowers. This is talking about the truth. Truth covers a multitude of sin. Amen? Your heart for seeing somebody not kill themselves will cover a multitude of sin. Will make a difference. Enough of judging. All right, enough of judging. Y'all got that? Amen. Amen. The end of Matthew 24, or the second part of Matthew 24, is the juicy part because it talks about Jesus addresses deception. He talks about deception first, and now we're talking about the damages. Jesus, what's going to happen at the end? Of course, wars and rumors of wars. Earthquakes, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Amen. We couldn't go to Israel and Jordan and Saudi Arabia a few months ago because of a war. And I'm not sure why or where did this come from. I know where it came from, but we as Christians, we are not shading and we are not against Israel. Can somebody clap about that if you agree? It's God's chosen people. It's God's chosen territory. Amen? We don't mess with Israel. Amen? We ain't messing with that. According to Geneva Academy, me and Lex was in Geneva a few months ago. According to the Geneva Academy, right now there are more than 110 wars or armed conflicts. Right now, about 20,000 earthquakes happen every year in the world, according to the NEIC, which is the Earthquake Information Center. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, famine. About 9 million people die of hunger, related causes yearly. Of course, we produce enough food to feed 8 billion people. But 802 million people go hungry every day. And many are under the age of 5, according to the GHI, Global Hunger Index. So Matthew 24 also lifts this. At the end of the world, at the end of the age, we will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death and will be hated by all nations because of who? Because of Jesus. At that time, many will turn. I hope not in my lifetime. Amen. But if so, God got me. Everybody say, God got me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. We're seeing this. And will betray and hate each other. Is this happening? And many false prophets will appear and deceive people. He cannot stop talking about deception. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end, remember today is about do not bend at the end. Do not bend at the end. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end of the world will come. 2023, 5 million more believers were persecuted. I know we feel good here in America with our freedoms, but just travel a little bit and think you're going to take your... Me and Lex, we couldn't even take our Bible in some places in another country last year. There would have been, I wouldn't be here right now. We could not visibly do certain things in another country, or there would have been persecution. Because in that territory, this is not the most important thing. Of course, we say this is one nation under. That's not the case everywhere. So the global persecution of Christians continue to rise. It is coming to America. It is coming to America. Amen. I'm glad. Listen, Jesus did say get a sword. In today's context is a gun. I'm glad many of us are carrying in this room because we want to be able to worship freely. But if you come in here and mess up this good singing that Uncle Jerry is doing, I know something. I'm protecting this Bible, and I'm protecting my arm. It's coming up, and I'm really only making light, or it's going to get bad, guys. It's going to get worse. It is going to get hot. It's going to get confrontational. Start posting truth on your page and see what happens. Work for corporate America and say what God tells you to say and see what happens. To each his own. But if many actually did not get the vaccine, corporate America would have fired you. If you had a conviction against it for whatever reason, they would have. Listen, I'm telling you, we don't see the signs. If you don't do this, you can't do this. Well, I believe in this. Well, okay, I'm going to restrict you from this. That's sign number one. Sign number two, I am going to punish you for your convictions. It's going to get hot across the world. 1 in 7 Christians, not Buddhists, not Muslims. So who's doing the persecuting? If we're going to be persecuted, who's going to do the persecuting? Have you ever thought about that? Who's going to attack us? Across the world, 1 in 7 Christians still experience hostility. From who? With 4,998 Christians killed for their faith last year. The majority, or 90%, in Nigeria. It is noon, and I gotta stop. Let's end it this way. Y'all clap your hands if you've been encouraged, warned today. Y'all know I'll just do a hard stop. I could just hard stop. So if y'all sit down, I can go 2 more hours. I got 10, 18 more slides. Y'all want them? Somebody say, go for it. No, she said, nah, I think you should have ended 15 minutes ago. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, riots. You know this is election year, right? Okay, buckle up, guys. It's election year. All right, it's been prophesied that some nonsense is going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm at a Christmas party, and a friend of mine said, of another race, was concerned. He said, this is going to be a rough year. Next year, he said, next year's going to be a rough year. And he didn't give context, but he was looking at me like, it's going to be an interesting rough year. He says this, we need to pray. Friend of mine. Another race, white, Caucasian gentleman. He said, we need to pray. Minister also. He said, we need to pray. At Christmas, I'm trying to draw Christmas. I don't know how we got on this. We got on basically Jesus is soon to come. There's going to be some things that's going to happen. Birth pains. Unrest. More hate. Turn off the news. Amen. Turn off the notifications. But guess what? Jesus said, I ain't coming yet. It is not going to be negativity that triggers his coming. It's actually going to be positivity that triggers his coming. Read it, Matthew 24. It says, the gospel of the kingdom, when it is preached all over the where? I'm ready. Because he is patient, he is loving, he is kind. He wants everybody to have a chance to do what? To reign with him. He is so patient, it may be 1 million years before he comes. He don't want to enjoy heaven by himself. He wants you, if you're watching, he wants you to be in heaven with him. So the gospel of the kingdom, not gossip, not the signs. It's, who wants Jesus to come today, though? Who wants him to come soon? If it's really going to get bad, who wants him to take you before it gets that bad? Raise your hand. I don't want to be in that mess. So if you want Jesus to come real quick, hold your Bible up. You want him to come sooner than later, you preach the gospel. And that's going to trigger Don't worry about hate. That's not actually going to speed up his return. Hate, murders, wars, earthquakes. You can be in the middle of the earthquake and you survive. You say, God, I know you're coming soon. He's going to say, nope, I ain't ready yet. When we are found preaching the gospel, if all of us in this room, each one reach one this week, we're speeding up his return. I don't mind. I actually don't mind. Amen. Who wants to speed up his return with me? Let's preach the gospel. Let's tell the truth on social media. Let's text the truth. Amen. Let's leave a voicemail with the truth. Amen. Let's go to Starbucks, Chick-fil-A, invite somebody, and speed up God's return by sharing and preaching the gospel. Amen. Let's go to Smoking Pig, invite a non-believer, and speed up God's return. This is very practical, amen? At Thanksgiving, at school, young believers, on campus, amen? Let's speed up God's return by preaching the gospel. Let's be found like Matthew, there's a scripture, Matthew 24, at the end of Matthew 24, let's be found doing what we're supposed to do. I'm finished. God bless you. Y'all clap your hands. For real, for real. Y'all actually don't seem like y'all want to stand up. Everybody standing, everybody standing. We're going to be dismissed shortly. Matthew 24, verse 46. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Matthew 24, I'm skipping to verse 46. Lord, thank you for this message. Thank you for this teaching. Thank you for this great day. This is really a great day. This is a great weekend. We clearly see the manifestation of your grace, your preservation. We have three birthdays in front of us. You are good. You are kind. Your mercy endures forever. We clearly see your handiwork. We clearly feel your presence. We clearly feel your goodness. God, this week, today, this year will be a year where we contribute to spreading the gospel of the kingdom. You are keeping us here for a reason. Not just to have a good life, but to testify about this good life that is only good because it's good in Christ. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for healing. Thank you for your mercy. We are going to confidently approach the throne. We're going to confidently, when we see your face, look forward to you saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We look forward to being over whatever you want us to be over in glory. Whatever you want us to do in glory, we look forward to doing that. But we got some unfinished business down here. And it's easy, but it's hard at the same time. Give us the confidence we need to speak the truth, to tell the truth, to share the truth. Tell us what to say, when to say it, how to say it. But most importantly, help us to just say it. We fear no man. We fear no devil. We fear no adversary. We thank you, God, for how you set all of this up. Everything is wrapped in grace and it's wrapped in love.
And when we leave here, let us continue to feel your love in your presence. Keep us safe when we leave here and forever in your care. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.